and I have the privilege of introducing Hannah. I'm getting to know Hannah because we haven't actually had a chance to chat yet. We're going to tonight, supper time. It's going to be good. But that woman carries fire. Yeah? She carries fire. And so I bless her in the name of Jesus, and I bless your ears to hear her, because she is someone who hears from the heavens. And I've just so enjoyed you and been inspired by you already, Hannah. So Jesus, come on up. Come on up. Can I pray for you? You're preaching down here. I love it. Even better. I'm going to stand here, though, because you're tall. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this mighty woman of God. I thank you for this couple. Lord, I feel like they're like Canada's best kept secret here. And God, you're bringing them out of hiding and you're highlighting them to our nation and beyond. And so, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for revelation from heaven now to come to Hannah. She's prepared herself, but she knows how to hear you and pull it down and give it to us. And so, Jesus, we thank you and we say yes. Put your hands up, guys. Say yes, Lord, I'm going to receive from you. I'm going to receive from you. And Lord, we bless her as your messenger. Fill her up even as she pours out for us, Lord, that she will feel quickened and strengthened and have renewed vision herself. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We do this
together. Do you have our family picture over there? Rapidly. And girls, can I ask you to separate that and four of you and help me when I'm going to say go. And this is our beautiful family, and I know we presented to some of you yesterday morning, but we're proud of them. So the big guy on the left is not me, it's somebody else. I don't know who's that guy, but it's fat. No, once you see yourself, you say, ugh. Anyway, that's me, that's my wife, the girl on the left, that's our second child, Catherine, and she's pregnant right now. They made a bunch of babies in the last year. We married all our three kids in the last three summer under a 2 years calendar. So pray for my finances, please, because in the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, I'm in the Poor Dad section, all right? And it's going to get better, but now pray for me. Anyway, that's my daughter. They're pregnant and is her husband, Calvin from Alaska, Filipino from Alaska, imagine. And they met in Redding, California. Lord has his ways. And the other beard guy is my son, Jeffrey, with our daughter-in-law, Bethany, and good thing she's not here right now. And our little boy, our first grandbaby, thank you for helping me, baby. And the youngest one is our youngest daughter, Emily, with her husband, who is a French guy, from France, you know. And it's not ooh, it's like ooh, all right, it's not ooh. Baby, don't interpret stuff I did not say, all right? And our second grandchild, I told them, please don't make me grandpa before 50. And they disobeyed twice. And we did not tell them. So, Bethany's pregnant again. So we're going to have three wedding and four kids in less than 3 years calendar. And we did not tell them to have 20 babies to go to heaven. We never told that. That's a Catholic thing. But anyway, we're proud of them. They're all working with us. They're all doing ministry with us. And we're very, very happy. Yesterday, we forgot to give you a card. So I don't know if you guys can hit girls one section each and give it to maybe one per couple or family. And we humbly give that to you guys so you can put our face on your fridge, all right? With the letter A and letter B, you know, that you put this on anyway. And Sesame Street. And or in your Bible, if you can pray for us, we explained what we do yesterday. Many of you don't know what we do in Quebec. But please at least keep us in your prayers to pray for what we're doing in Quebec, for revival in Quebec, for a bridge to be built between Quebec and English Canada, and that we can work together. And we're itinerant ministry. We live by faith. We're so blessed that Pastor Joel's church, Harvest City, jump on board to be partners with us. We cannot make it. And if by God's grace Maybe God will put on your heart to support us or sow in our ministry. There's, I think, a QR code in the back or the website. And we cannot make it without outside help of Quebec. And we're blessed. So think about it. Pray about it. We humbly put that on the table. And may the Lord lead you, if so, to do it. But thank you very much. Thank you for having us. For us, it's a blessing. And I pray now you have a new face to put on Quebec. A beautiful face. A fat face, but a beautiful face. And I'm joking. I'm very confident in my identity. Don't worry. And anyway, so ladies and gentlemen from Saint-Hyacinthe, Quebec, yeah, Anna Dumais.
Thank you. Well, you heard my message, so that's it. No, I'm just kidding. I am honored to be here. I'm blessed to get to know you guys. I'm blessed to see your faces and put actually a description on what Canada carries, what the UK, where's Peter, where's Paul, what the UK carries, what my beautiful Uganda carries. It's an honor and a privilege just to come alongside one another and to pour into one another. Do you not agree? I would like to see who are, I'm going to say senior leaders. If you could stand up, I would, can I just see who are all the senior leaders? Aubrey, thank you. All right. All right, stay standing. Now, are there any spouses, I don't know if that's how you say it, but that did not stand with their husband? Okay, stand with your husband, please. Okay, or your wife, sorry. All right. You need to know that you carry together. There's a lie that says because he's the senior pastor or she's the senior pastor that, well, I don't carry, I won't do the same thing as him, but you are better together. Your anointing is increased together. I believe you go up against 1,000. But when she's in the room with you, you can hit 10,000. And you must see, I'm talking to both of you, as the one who's on stage, let's say, you need to know you need her. I think you do. But the one who's not on stage, you need to know what you carry and what you do to him or her. It's so key. Especially in the upcoming season. It's so key. And I'm going to be speaking to some of you as leaders, and I need you to grab that as a couple, and not just individually. Does that make sense? I need you to understand that as a couple. So I bless you guys. I'm so proud of the work. Can we just give them a hand? Can we just honor you? I honor you guys. All right, you can be seated. I would like now, are there any I'm going to call them second tier leaders, and you'll understand you're either in an eldership or you're in a position of assistant pastor, associate pastor, worship pastor, youth leader. I would like you to stand. Are there any of those here? Oh, come on. Come on. Now that, I appreciate my senior leaders already clapping you. They know. We honor you and the work you're doing. You need to know that this is a season where God is calling you up. You need to know the heaviness of the mandate and the call that is on your life. You need to know what Pastor Peter said yesterday, that it's time, I'm going to say, kick you out of the nest. He didn't say that exactly, but it's time for you to go. It's time. There's a season where, come on, this is your season. There's a season of more for you. There's a season, and again, you heard what I said. I don't know if, are there any spouses that are sitting down? Come on, stand up. Now it's a little embarrassing, but hey, that's okay. You need each other. Please learn that. Please know that. Do not be The servant that holds his portion and hides it in the ground. Do not be the one that says, I don't have that much. Oh my goodness, who are you to downgrade what God has given you? Do not be that person. Bring your portion. Bring your portion. All right, sit down. I just wanted to know who I'm talking to. So it's really a privilege to be here. And those of you that are beginning to know me, those of you that really know me, know that I love hearing God's voice. I love talking with Jesus. I love looking at Jesus. This is going to be kind of a second step on what Joe said yesterday. Joel. I call him Joe. Because as I was praying for you guys, the Lord brought me in the heavens. And I saw the beauty of the Lord, and I saw a multitude of colors, and of this, from this one color, I saw these angels darting out and coming to Western Canada. And it was unclear, because it was almost like they were coming to Western Canada and the nations. And I didn't realize that it wasn't just Canada that was here, but they were coming to Western Canada and the nations. And now I understand, because there are nations that are represented. And on the back of those angels, they were swift, they were purposeful, they were precise like darts and arrows. And on their backs were these woven baskets. And I could see them coming down gently, plucking men and women of God and putting them in this basket, these baskets. And I heard the Lord say, there is a season of transition that is on these men and women. And I am taking them and I am hiding them. If they will yield to me, there is a condition. If they will yield to my voice, I will pluck them and hide them in this season as I hid Moses. Because there is I heard the Lord say, I am preparing and growing their maturity and their authority. But the Lord says, you must be willing to be yielded. You must be willing to be put and hidden, to be set aside. And the Lord said to me, some of you like the platform. Some of you like to be seen and heard. And I'm honest with you, I fell asleep at that moment. It was 4 a.m. I was on my chair. I fell asleep. And I was like, asking the Lord, what is this? And And then suddenly, I heard the voice of the Lord say, do not usurp my glory. Do not usurp my glory. Pride will usurp my glory. Presumption will usurp my glory. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, in this next season, if you desire me, you will get my glory. If you desire my presence, you will get my glory. I will show you the new way. And I'm going to contradict something that Val said. The Lord is saying, I don't want you getting back the passion of your youth. I am bringing you to an even higher passion. I am bringing you to an even newer perspective of me. And I felt the Lord saying, I'm renewing your vision. I'm renewing your revelation of who I am. I'm renewing your energy. Come on, some of you feel old. You've been battled. I know it. You've been through the hurts, the rejections, the betrayals. You've been through the pain. You've been through the brokenness. And you're looking at yourself with self-pity. And the Lord is saying, that was never to harm you, but that was a training. I just want to... The last 50 years of your ministry, whatever time frame you had in that, okay? Probably there's only Pastor Peter that has 50 years. But in the last 50 years of your ministry, that never was your legacy. It was the training ground onto something. And the Lord says to you, Pastor Peter and Irene, this is a new season, a season where the Lord is saying, I'm about to shoot you to the nations. What you thought you had set and established, the Lord says, well, look and see, it will multiply. You thought $1 million was a lot. And the Lord says, I'm about to bring multiplications of millions because it will be done not just in Uganda and Gaba, not just in Gaba, but the Lord says, I am establishing, that was a prototype for the nations. So that what that season was onto something. And I heard the Lord say, as I put you, set you aside, refuse the offense, refuse the rejection, refuse the wallowing, because the Spirit of the Lord says, this is a season of hiddenness. It is a season of retraining in my voice. Are you ready to hear the Lord? Are you ready to practice hearing God? Silence. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I never know what I'm about to preach, which is annoying. And I get in the Word. I love my Word. Who loves the Word of Jesus? Do you know that this Word is alive? Do you know that there's not one verse in this book that cannot speak to you? Did you know that you should never, and I know I'm talking to leaders, but there's a couple youngins too, okay? So give me grace. Did you know you should never spend a time just reading through a chapter saying, amen, there you go, I did my Bible time. That is so wrong. Jesus wants to talk. His Word is alive. His Word is alive. And if you didn't get anything from your couple verses that you read, go back. Go back and ask Him, what are you saying? We do this out of habit. We develop, even in the goodness of His Word, religiosity. And the Lord is saying, it's a season in those baskets, in those places of hiddenness, He wants to speak. He wants to speak. What are you getting out of His Word? And then we do the sin. Yes, we say, that was very good. Amen. I got a word. Now let's get back to business. And that too is wrong. How many of you, I'm going to say probably all of you, because you wouldn't be here otherwise, heard the Lord say something to the effect, I'm calling you into this, right? Hands, just show me you're still not sleeping. Okay, good. We heard God. And with obedience, in that one moment, probably in a moment of worship, of praise, of surrender, which should be our lifestyle, we heard God. Yes? And then we get up. Joe, come here. And we know Jesus is with us. Now, Jesus, give me my mandate.
You're mandated.
I am mandated. Yay, I knew it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I got to get on it. All right, Lord, come on. Let's go do it. And we go. And we know He's there. Now we're doing. Okay, He gave me this mandate. And He gave me this mandate. And He gave me this mandate. And, oh, man. I'm having a problem here. Jesus, it'd be nice you step in. Suddenly, we turn to Him because, oh, I just hit a glitch. And then, oh, thank you, Jesus, regulated that. All right, back to business. And actually, it should be, sorry, babes, okay? Just give me grace. I'm following. Holding on. I'm just holding on to His belt, okay? Move forward. He's actually leading me. He's actually bringing me. He's actually the one that I follow. Okay, this is getting intense in high heels. Thank you, babes. Do you understand? We're supposed to be, yes, we do that. We get compelled by his voice. And then we think, he picked me because I'm bold, because I've got this talent, I've got charisma, I've got... Did you know that we need the fullness of him? Oh, okay, but you say that's right. But if I get the fullness of him, I die. Do you get it? Okay, do you guys understand? It hit me, Ephesians 3:18, that Paul says that you may be filled with the fullness of Christ. I'm dead. The weight of that. When we say so lightly, Lord, fill me. Oh, do you not understand? It's not less of me. It's none of me. If I get all of him, and oh, I know this of him. Imagine if I get the fullness of him, I die. But I need the fullness of him to actually do what in that moment of surrender he called me to do. And to be in the fullness of him, I need to be hooked onto him so well that even if I am in high heels, nothing will stop me from moving forward. His voice is so important, and it's a muscle that we've neglected. God doesn't speak just with words. We all know that. Let me remind you. He speaks in visions. He speaks in impressions. He speaks in thoughts. He speaks all the time. I do not agree that Jesus stops speaking ever. Not in a desert season. Not in moments of silence. Imagine this. You saw that little munchkin, right? Oh, they're my pride and joy. Those Noah and Amelia are my grandbabies. Imagine if that little Amelia came to me and she says, Nana, I feel sad today. Can you tell me something? And I'm like, I'm going to teach her a lesson. I'm going to just shut up and pull away here and watch her. Do you really think I would do that? My Amelia is my biggest distraction. I work from home with my team. Our offices are in the basement. My daughter works for us. And when she comes in with Amelia, I could be doing an interview. I could be in a meeting. I can be preaching. And suddenly I'm like, hi, baby girl. Nana loves you. I do. Because there's nothing. Now, that love is this compared to Jesus when he sees you. And he says, hi, baby girl, Linda, my girl. I love you. What is it you want? How can I help? I'm with you. Oh, you know you can do this because I'm there. He never goes silent. We surround ourselves with a lot of noise. We surround ourselves with a lot of noise. And in this season of yieldedness, you're going to have to shut down the noise. You're going to have to develop the hearing of his voice. And the Lord told me, oh, last night, so I have all my notes. And he says this to me last night, just annoys me. It really does. Because I see how Joel is very, he's ready, reviews, and Joel and Joel. And I'm not like that. I wish I could be. And then the Lord says, Hannah, you tell them. If they see me, they will hear me. Does that make sense? No, maybe it doesn't. We'll practice. We'll do it together. I love activating people. I kind of think if you live it yourself, you'll understand it better. That's the teacher in me. If I'm able to bring you to that place of experiencing his presence, experiencing seeing him, then maybe you'll hear as well. We need to be practical. For our own lives as ministers, come on, we need to have a higher standard. You know, I have a class on emerging prophets. I don't think they're all prophets, okay? Hear me out. They're emerging. There was a school of prophets. Samuel learned and grew before he actually became a prophet. Did you know it takes 12 to 15 years to be a prophet, biblically speaking? So, and that's intentional. If we don't have schools of emerging prophets, because we're afraid, you know, they're going to start being full of themselves and start saying things that are, if we don't do that, how are we to train them? How are we to be able to say, you're supposed to walk in honor and humility, submission one to the other. Where do I do that? So I have this class, and right now all my students, anybody that registers is not automatically accepted. They pass an interview because I want to see their standard. And I tell them, your standard of, what on 10, 1 to 10, what do you think your spiritual discipline is? And they say, 6, 7. And I'll tell them, that's unacceptable. It is. You're going to speak in the name of God, and you're, you know, one day a week, I skip, I just am tired, don't feel like it. No, unacceptable. Now, pastors and leaders, second-tier leaders, those who feel called into ministry, your standard right now is right here. That's not being super spiritual. That is being spirit-led. Those who are led of the Spirit are called children of God. And if I'm the leader, I should model that, correct? Now, we all know the impact of his voice on us. It does. It calls us into mandate. We see that with Moses, where he turned aside. Notice what he did. He saw first, and then he heard God's voice. He saw God in the fire, and then he heard his voice. If you see him, you'll hear him. His voice gives us identity. I mean, Jesus, we see the dove coming down on Jesus once he got baptized. And then what happens? Those who saw the dove heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved." You see, you hear. Seeing opens your ears. There's one verse, I think it's in Habakkuk, that says, "Look to see what the Lord will say." Why? Because if you look, if you see God, he speaks. He's never silent. He's talking right now. He's stirring your hearts. But we get taken in by the noise, the self-doubt, the second-guessing, the social media. Come on, some of you are addicted to social media. We get taken by the noise, the worries, others' opinions, what man will say, what our churches will say. And we stop following him and we start doing. And suddenly we hit a wall. And we're like, "Lord, tickets just went up. I was about to buy those tickets. You told me to buy them. The price just went up. Fix it, Lord. Come on. What's that about? Is it really you?" You know, suddenly we hit a problem. Are we following his voice? Because when I follow his voice, it doesn't say I'm not going to hit problems. I won't. I will. I mean, his voice is in the storm. Why? Not when Jesus told his disciples to go on ahead. The disciples are in the middle of this storm. And suddenly they see Jesus, number one. They hear his voice, number two. And then he spoke to the storm. He was there in the storm with you. Some of you are expecting the storm to disappear. Some of you are expecting the desert to stop. And the Lord is saying, in this place that I have placed you, I am going to make you flourish. I'm going to strengthen you and give you strategy to get through it. But for that, you must be hidden. Do you understand that? Anybody starting to want to get hidden? Oh, I've got two. I'm glad we got two young ones. Good job, girls. Shakarabakaya. If you behold him, you will hear him. Isaiah said this. He said, I saw the Lord. Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord, and his glory filled the temple. If you read Isaiah, you'll see that Isaiah 1 to 6, Isaiah is almost a historian, you know, like saying, recounting things. And then he sees God. And the rest of the book of Isaiah, it's the word of the Lord. It's the oracle of God. It's suddenly placed in a place of relationship because he saw God. Those that are the worship team, just raise your voice, your hand. Show me those who are the worship team. All right, stand up. As you were worshiping, where's Kaylee? Hi, sorry. Come over here. Sorry. Thank you. As you guys were worshiping, I heard the Lord say, I'm creating a new breed with this group. And he was bringing you into a season of maturity, spiritual maturity, which was, some of you have a big leap to do. And the Lord is saying, I'm asking you for more. I'm asking you to put aside the time. You've said yes to the Lord, but now there's a place of honor and humility where the Lord is going to say, I want you to see her portion, and I want you to see his portion, and to see and hear one another and what you each carry, because the new sound that God is about to bring out from your group will be one that will impact the nation. Even the musicians, don't play your music as an instrument, but go in the heavens and hear the drum beat of heaven. Hear the sound, and if you don't, go back. And if you still don't, go back. But hear the sound of heaven when you're worshiping. There is a beat in heaven that is playing. And sometimes you're going to have to stop him and say, hey, that's not the sound right now. And you're going to have to listen. And this will become a team. And there will be a synergy that will happen amongst one another. Because you'll trust each other and you'll honor one another. Lord has given you, Kaylee, a spiritual mandate, even over the group, to bring a certain leadership. I even saw it that first night when you brought that prophetic word. And I saw certain second guessing, but at the same time, I felt the Lord say, I'm growing maturity in her where she is able to see the value in each and she is able to encourage them. And the Lord will even outside of the group tell you to encourage him and prophesy over her and tell them what you see in the spirit. But the Lord is definitely telling you guys, look and see me first. Don't sing or worship without having seen him first. Don't sing a song. Don't ever sing a song. Sing worship. Sing praise. Know the purpose of heaven. In that moment, there's an assignment for every meeting. Know the purpose of heaven. Raise up your standards. And allow your pastor and those around you to challenge you, to grow you guys. Does that make sense? Come on, Lord, we just bless them. Can we just put our hands towards them right now? Lord, we bless them, Lord, for the sound that they carry. We bless them, Lord, for their yes. We bless them, Lord Jesus, for their ability to see and hear in the heavens what it is that you're doing. We call for an angelic movement around them. As their voices are open, as the sound of their instruments is heard, Lord Jesus, let them, the angels, let the movement of the angels be released from around them. Lord, we bless them to be fruitful. We bless them to grow. We bless them to walk in honor and in humility to serve the body of Christ. Lord, we come against any spirit of pride or arrogance or that thing that says, oh, it's because of me. Oh, Lord Jesus, let them be at your feet. Let them see you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Okay. We need to keep moving here. Harabakarabakia. Jesus talks every moment of every day. I know this isn't for the habit of everybody, but it is the truth. It is a muscle that culture tells us it's not rational, it's not logical, and that's noise. That's noise. Opinions, people's perspective go above God's. But Jesus walks with us always. Do you agree? And he has an opinion on everything. Do you agree? And he has a strategy. I mean, Angela shared a little bit. Actually, she didn't. I think it was Joel that did. But then I was reminded when I was talking to her. But gave her a strategy for even her health. Is that correct? He has a strategy for the mundane, for your children. My son had anxiety at the age of 7, 8. I'd put him to bed and he'd start heaving and I'd be like, what's going on? And he wasn't a talker. I don't know if all guys are like that, but I've got two guys that don't talk. Yeah, he doesn't talk. And I told Jesus, what do I do? Jesus has a strategy. He cares. And the Lord told me. He said, ask him what's coming up tomorrow. And he had a test the next day, spelling test. And the Lord told me, tell him he has to fail his test. I was like, oh, Lord, okay. And I said, Jeff, tomorrow, that test that I said, did you study for it? He said, yes. I said, do you think you're going to fail? He's like, no. I said, okay, that's good. Tomorrow, you need to fail that test. It's like, Mom, I can't do that. I'm like, you need to. You need to learn that if you fail, I won't be mad. You did your best. Are you going to be mad at you? I was like, no. I'm like, okay. You need to learn to deal with failure. So the next day, and as soon as I said that, my son started laughing. Oh, Mom, you're the best mom in the world. The stress left. He thought there was an expectation. Next day, he failed his test. Added A's and S's and stuff that wasn't there. And he was delighted to do it. Wow. He came home and I said, okay, next time you have a test and you're thinking I might fail, do you think I'm going to get mad at you? He said, no, I know you won't. I said, that's a strategy of Jesus. He's teaching you to deal with failure. Jesus speaks in the mundane. He speaks in the vision. He gave us a vision to gather the province of Quebec to pray for revival. We were these two young people, 20, 21, didn't have internet back in the day. So we're sending off these mail letters to Mennonites, Baptists, Pentecostals. It didn't matter. If you had church in your title, we're sending you an invite to come and pray for revival. Strategy of Jesus. Don't do things because you think you know. That's where you fail. Or you, I didn't say this. I wasn't looking at my notes. But when I had that vision in that second part and the Lord said, do not usurp my glory. I heard, I saw men and women, you guys, doing good things. And I heard heaven say, and I don't think it was God, but I heard the heavens say, it is good what you're doing, but it is not God. And some of you are doing something really good. And you're afraid of the God. We were looking up this morning the difference between boldness and audacity. You know what the difference is? Boldness is taking a risk. That's logical. Audacity is taking a risk. That is not. Isn't that crazy? God is calling from some audacious men and women of God. And this is a season of transition. I'm going to say for many of you, probably most of you, you're entering a season of transition. In that season, it's not to look and try to find what's the next thing. Some of you, it's huge moves. It's like new alignments. Not just new strategies up here, but new positions. And the Lord is saying, you need to hide. You need to be hidden. You need to be hearing my voice. You need to be developing that muscle in your day-to-day. I don't know the pianist. And maybe Kaylee. Can you guys come up? On stage, obviously. Not next to me. But I'm going to have you guys maybe very quietly do You Are Worthy of It All. Maybe just like with chords and gently singing that. Would that make sense? And before she begins to sing, I'm going to ask you guys, I want us to do this activation. Because many of you came here wanting a word of the Lord. And you know, the role of a prophet is actually not to release the word of the Lord over an individual. Did you know in the Bible, Gad was a prophet to David, yes. He was a spiritual leader over a nation. But most prophets were over nations. But the New Testament prophet, his role is to raise up others to hear God's voice. That's his role. Not to give word after word after word after word, although that's what we want, but to say, hear, 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 hear. Because the Lord wants to speak to each of us. That's the muscle. It's hard. It's hard work. It's hard for me. I get up the morning that the Lord spoke to me. I got up at 4 a.m. because between 3 and 4, the Lord wasn't leaving me alone. At 4, I went downstairs. I sat on my chair and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? I start reading my Bible like I shouldn't, just like reading it. And then the Lord says, Hannah, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you up here. I want you to see. If you see him, you hear him. If you hear him, you're compelled by his voice. You remember when you heard him up front. Do you not? It still drives you. Reinhard Bonnke, he was compelled the day he heard God, Jesus, say, Africa will be saved. He heard that voice. And it drove him. But the rest of his life was a walking out with the voice of God. We have a mission. We have a mandate. And it has nothing to do with our personality, our capacities. Did you know I'm the shyest person you've ever met? I really am. I don't like being up front. I don't really like talking to people, although don't be embarrassed. I do. I mean, okay. I do more. But my yes is despite my personality. My yes is despite introvert, extrovert, outgoing, wearing high heels or not. My yes to the Lord is to see him. And what Joe said yesterday, compelled to the one thing, if we're constantly going to the one thing, not just in worship, come on, it's not about a pulpit or a gathering in a church, it's about being with Jesus. I'm about the one thing that leads me by day, that guides me by night, because when I see him, I hear him. So I want, before you start singing, Princess, I want us to do something. It's time. I want you to stand. Ah. I have a description here that I'm going to read you. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see him. Some of you are saying, yeah, but that's not logical. It's my imagination. It is. He made it. He created it. He'll speak through it. Some of you are like, yes, but that's never how God spoke to me in the past. Come on. It's time for a new thing. I want you guys to hear how this description of Jesus, this description of God, of Holy Spirit, I want you to see him go high, exercise your muscle. My team in the back, go high, see him, and be ready to hear him. Because the Lord has a new voice and a new sound for this season. And in the season of being, I saw life links expanding. But it was in those baskets. As leaders and pastors and second tier and third tier people were yielding to the Lord, there was an alignment and a multiplication that was happening. And we're going to sing, "You are worthy of it all," in a moment. Let's close our eyes. Let's just see Jesus. He's majestic. He's radiant. He's holy. Uncreated light. Weighty with goodness. Pure beyond measure. Fire that doesn't consume yet burns away all that is false. Infinite yet near enough to whisper. King of kings yet stooping to wash feet. Thundering voice, tender silence. Justice like a river, mercy like rain. He is beauty that blinds, beauty that heals. He's the Ancient of Days, ageless in wonder. Sovereign, steady, unshaken. He's a breath of life. Are you beginning to see him? Come on, keep your eyes closed. Keep looking to see. He's faithful and fierce in love. He who was and is to come. He's clothed in majesty, crowned in humility. He's the one whose presence fills all things. Ah. He still leaves us wanting for more. He is unsearchable depth, light older than the stars, the voice that birthed galaxies and still calls each one of us by name. He's self-existent, needing nothing, yet delighting in communion. The source of all joy, the end of all striving, a consuming holiness that doesn't repel but transforms. He is clothed in righteousness. Come on, look and see him. He's clothed in righteousness. He's robed in splendor, surrounded by innumerable praise. His throne is established on justice, yet mercy drips from its edges. He's the lion whose roar shakes the nations. He's the lamb whose gentleness saves them. He's wisdom personified, mystery unveiled. Do you see him? He's the one who dwells in unapproachable light, yet made himself touchable. He's perfect harmony. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, moving in eternal love. He's brilliance before every crown falls, before which every crown falls. Glory that fills heaven and earth, yet still seeks the human heart. He He's the melody creation longs to echo. He's unfaded, unmeasured, unbroken. He's presence that heals. He's holiness that humbles. He's worthy of it all. Do you see him? Do you see him? If you see him, you'll hear him. That's what being about the one thing is. It's looking to see. He has things he wants to tell you. He wants to tell you directly. There's callings that are being given right now. There's strategies from heaven that make no sense that are being given right now. There's words of wisdom and affirmation that are being given right now. Can you see him? I just want to invite you to hear him. Look and see what the Lord is saying.